Ruth chapter 3. If you need a pew Bible, it is this burgundy Bible right here, and it's page 413. Either page 413 or Ruth chapter 3. We have been doing the series we started at the beginning of the month called What's Love Got to Do with It? And I'm sure by now you have had that Tina Turner song just bouncing out through your head the whole time like I have. But what has love got to do with it? The answer is everything. If it weren't for Christ's love, if it weren't for his overwhelming love, caring for us as sinners, there would be no need for us to be here today. There would be no need to have a church. There would be no need to have any sort of organization such as Scouting, which teaches ultimate love through sacrifice and caring about your community, as Christ ultimately sacrificed his life and cared about those who were apart from him. What's love got to do with it? Everything. If you found your place in Ruth chapter 3, we're going to discuss security, submission, and salvation. Security, submission, and salvation. Ruth chapter 3, or page 413 in the Pew Bible. We begin reading in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Stop right there. Security. We live in an insecure world, don't we? We do. Have you looked at the news lately? There's turmoil all over. Look at some of the way that things fail in the business world. We've had giants of industry come crashing down. We've had job layoffs. We've had strife in the world where we're at war. We live in an insecure world. I did a Google hit this week for security concerns. You know how many I got? 32 million hits about security concerns. Just those two words. We have security concerns about airlines. We have personal security concerns. We have private security concerns, government, money, and so on. We live in an insecure world. Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner in Israel, was a widow, and she was in an insecure place. She was, like many of us, wondering, what am I going to do not only today but tomorrow? To whom do I turn? The Scout motto is be prepared. You can be prepared, but there's just some things that take you by storm. There's some things that arise out of nowhere and capture your attention, and you're not prepared for them. People desire security. I want you to see in verse 1 that not only do we have personal concerns about security, but security is desired by those who care about us. Verse 1, Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, says to her, "Look, I want to make your future the brightest it can possibly be. I care about you. You're my daughter-in-law, but I consider you my daughter. Look, do what I tell you. Take my advice. Get out of these mourning clothes that you've been in. You've been mourning for your husband. Take off the black dress, so to speak, and put on something nice. Wash up, and I want to help set your future for you." Isn't it nice? Isn't it refreshing? Isn't it a wonderful feeling when someone takes the time to look after you, to make sure that you're okay. Just a simple call. Just a simple, how are you doing? Just a, what's going on with you? To see to your security. Naomi was going above and beyond that. She was trying to secure Ruth's future. We live in an insecure world. Jesus Christ has come to secure our future. Apart from Him, He tells us truthfully, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we are without help and without hope. Jesus cared enough to secure our future on the cross if we would but believe in Him. Security is desired by those who care about us. Security is planned in advance in an insecure world. Verses 2 and 3, we see Naomi giving good advice. Now, Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's going to be doing something tonight. He's going to be doing grain tonight. So wash yourself, put on some perfume, you know. Women, we like you to smell good. We don't like you to smell like you've been in the field. It's true. It's true. To do a little aside here, why do women always smell like flowers and gardenias? I've wondered that. I don't know. I've wondered that. Why don't you smell like, you know, gunpowder and steak and motor oil? Don't try it. Don't try it. Naomi's given her good advice. Make yourself presentable. The time for mourning is over. Change your outward appearance, and perhaps it will help change your inward thoughts. Security is planned for in advance. Do you realize that our security was planned for in advance? That one day, God didn't just wake up and go, there's a problem in this world. People are going against my will, and they're sinning, and the punishment for sin is death, and, well, there's nothing I can do about it. No. The Bible tells us from before time began, God had a plan. And His plan included reconciliation with Him. His plan included a way out of the trouble that we were in, a way out of the insecurity that we find ourselves in every day. Security is planned for in advance. But I want you to know also, in verse 4, security has guidelines that must be followed. Now imagine with me, if you will, Naomi makes this speech and says, look, get dressed, change your clothes, put on some perfume, get ready to go meet Boaz. What if she had not done that? Would he have been impressed? No. Gentlemen, do you remember the first time you saw her when she really was all dolled up and looked really nice? Didn't you like that? Ladies, didn't you appreciate when he got dressed up for you? Now, there is an understanding that when you're at work, you're at work. But when it's a special occasion, it needs to be a special occasion. You can't look like you're at work all the time. You can't look sloppy all the time. You've got to have guidelines that have to be followed. There are set rules in this society for looking your best and appearing to be your best. There are set guidelines that God Himself has put in place. Not only do you have to look your best, but you have to be your best. And even then, sometimes, no, all the time. It's not enough just to be your best, because your best just isn't good enough. You can't be good enough to earn your way to heaven. You can't put in enough money in the offering plate. You can't give your body to be burned, as Paul says. You can't do enough. The guidelines established are that you have to be as holy as God Himself, And none of us can do that. Only through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, only relying on Him and His blood, can you follow the guidelines and have security in an insecure world. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Proverbs 30, verses 4 through 5 says this, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." In an insecure world, isn't it a wonderful thing that we have security? The second thing we see in verses 5 through 10 is submission. Submission. "And she said to her, 'All that you say to me, I will do.' So she went to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was cheerful, and he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. He said, 'Who are you?' She answered, 'I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative.' Then he said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor.'" Submission. Submission is a word we don't like to use very often, is it? We all have to submit. We submit to our bosses at work, or pretty soon we don't have work to go to. We submit to teachers at school, and we had better submit to the government and pay our taxes by April 15th, or else. We don't like to submit in this life, but there is a time for submission. There is a time for following what is required of you. Sometimes submission, like in verses 5 through 6, comes to being submissive to your family, listening to what is required of your family, doing the right thing because it affects your family. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, being submissive to your family means being submissive to the family of God, doing what is required, not doing what isn't required, and doing it cheerfully. I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. For a family that we have, not just in this church, but in a lot of churches I go to and have been around, they don't look very happy to be there. They don't look very happy to be part of the family of God, to know that they're going to heaven. In fact, they look like they've been sampling the pickle juice at Mount Olive. I can't get over it. Sometimes you have to submit to the family of God, to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and follow what he's doing, to find out where you belong within the family and to wholeheartedly pursue it. Everyone has a job. Everyone has a responsibility. Everyone has a role to play. Don't worry about what he or she is doing. Do your role and do it cheerfully. Submission to family. Sometimes, in verses 7 and 8, we have to have a submission to form. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things, isn't there? There is. Now, if I were to walk over there and unplug or undo that faceplate, and lick my finger and stick it in that electrical socket, what do you think would happen to me? I'd get a new hairdo. I'd get shocked. You might end up visiting me in the hospital. Why? Because I didn't follow the form correctly. Form says that I'm supposed to go and do certain safety procedures, cut off the breaker box and so on and so forth, before I even mess with something like that. God has a form for us. In this story, it appears to our Western eyes as if Ruth is being a little bit wanton, if she's being a little bit risque, but she is following the form set before her in her submission to the one she wishes to protect her. She comes humbly. She comes correctly. She follows the rules. How often do we wish to fight against the form? How often do we wish to come to God on our own terms and make Him in our image instead of being conformed to His image? It's important to note that in following form, Boaz is startled at midnight when he feels something soft and warm at his feet. He bends forward and he discovers Ruth. In the dark, he didn't recognize her. Ruth identified herself. She asked that he spread his wing over her since he was her kinsman redeemer. Keep that word in mind. The reference here is to the placing of the corner of the garment over a maiden as a token of marriage. She's asking him in that form, in that day, protect me. She's asking her kinsman redeemer. Now let's unpack that just a second. A kinsman is someone who's related to you. And a redeemer is someone who can pull you out of your misery and slavery. We have a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, born in humble circumstances, born in the likeness of a man, so that he would have kinship with all of humanity. And it didn't stop there. He, by his death on the cross, becomes our Redeemer and pays the penalty for our sins. He is our kinsman Redeemer. And if we follow the form he has laid out, if we follow what he has said, we can have life and life abundantly and a future in heaven. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21 says it best. You were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned from your ancestors. But you know that you were not rescued by things such as silver and gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless, innocent lamb. Christ was chosen even before the world was created because of you. He did not come until these last days. And when he did come, it was to lead you to have faith in God, who raised him from the dead and honored him in a glorious way. That's why you can have your faith and hope in God. Submission to faith, or submission to family, submission to form, submission to faith. Follow what God has laid out for you. Finally, the last thing we see in verses 11 through 18 is salvation. The scout law says, or the scout promise says, on my honor, I will do my best. There's a higher priority, though, than just doing your best. Sometimes you do your best, and it's not good enough. Sometimes as hard as you strive, you can never reach the mark. Ruth had been doing her best. She'd been gleaning in the fields. She'd been gathering that which was left over to feed her and Naomi, but that wasn't going to last forever. She needed salvation of a physical form to protect her. In that day and age, women couldn't do as much, certainly, as they can do now. She couldn't go out and get a job. She needed a protector. She needed salvation. Our best, our good that we do, isn't always good enough. We need the salvation. We need the protector. We need the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. In verses 11 through 13, we see a promise. Boaz says to her, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all for you that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." Boaz makes a promise. "You can't do this on your own, Ruth. And I have grown to care about you. I have grown to want to be a part of your life and to protect you and to help you and to comfort you and to guide you and to do all the things that should be done for you." Christ has made that same promise for you and I. Christ has made the promise, and his promise cannot be annulled, cannot be changed, cannot be taken from you. There is no one that can do for you what he can. There is no closer relative as Boaz had to deal with. Only Christ. In verses 14 and 15, not only was there a promise made, but there was a proposal. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said to her, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. Even at this point, Boaz cares for her. He cares for her so much so that he gives her a bride price. Now, ladies, when that special guy gave or will give you that diamond ring, you loved it, didn't you? But you can't eat a diamond ring, can you? In this time of famine, in this time of unrest, in this time of insecurity, Boaz is looking out for her, and he gives her something useful to her, and he makes a promise in the form of a proposal. "Look, I'm going to supply your needs. You need this food. You don't need this thing over there or that thing over here. You need something of sustenance, and I will supply it." He makes a proposal to her that he would be her source. Christ has made the same proposal to us. It's interesting, when a lot of people become Christians, they walk an aisle, they do whatever, they pray the sinner's prayer, and they never look to Christ to be their source for anything. They try so hard to do it on their own instead of relying on God. The proposal is, ladies and gentlemen, that once you become a Christian, God tells us through his word that we make up part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the bride of Christ, and that one day Christ is coming back for us to have us to be with him forever and to provide for us and to take care of us. The proposal is still there. Finally, we see preparations in 16 through 18. She goes back to her mother-in-law. She tells her everything that goes on. And her mother-in-law, no doubt, has to calm her down and tells her in verse 18, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Would that we had people as excited about their salvation as Ruth is about her hopefully impending marriage to Boaz. It's a shame when salvation wears off. It's a shame when the joy of meeting your Lord for the first time becomes dull routine. Boaz made preparations. Christ has made preparations for us. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And in Romans 6:23, sin pays off with death, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus goes on to say in John 14:1-3, if we would but believe in him, he says, don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I have done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together. If you would but humble your heart, follow Christ, and trust in him for your righteousness, trust in him that you cannot do it on your own. He says, look, not only will I forgive you of your sins, but I've got a place ready for you. This world is not your home. The things you grasp for and strain for are temporary. What Christ promises is eternal. As Miss Lisa comes to do our hymn of invitation, hymn 365, the offer is this. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Today's the day to meet your kinsman redeemer, the one who loved you so much that he gave it all away for you. Two, if you are a Christian and you have lost the love of your life, the love for Christ, get it right today. Three, if you would like to unite with this church, with a body of believers, the invitation is open for you. Please stand and sing hymn number 365, Trust and Obey, hymn 365.
Center.